Good evening. There are a couple of passages, probably more than a couple, in the Bible that scare me to death. And what do I mean by that? I mean, when I read that passage and I see what God has asked me to do, and then I think about the fact that I've got to face God in judgment one day and answer to Him for how I have conducted myself in regard to those passages. We talked in class tonight about forgiveness. In Ephesians 4 and verse 32, Paul says that we are to forgive as God in Christ has forgiven us. That is a tall task. And that is something that I continually work at every day. But there's another passage that also scares me. And that is found in Matthew, the 25th chapter. And Jesus talks about the judgment scene, beginning in verse 31 of Matthew 25. And I'm not going to read all of this, but here's the point that I want to make. Jesus talks to those in judgment, and he says, verse 35, I was hungry and you gave me drink, or something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. And I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And the righteous will answer and say, when did we do this? And Jesus said in verse 40, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. All right? That's fine. But then I read on down, and there were some that he condemned for not doing it. In verse 45, he answered them and said, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it unto me. Here's what scares me. Jesus is asking me to go out and help others. And when I help others, when I serve others and do things to help others, I'm not only doing it for them and to them, but I'm doing it unto Jesus also. I am serving Him by serving others. And that's what I want to talk about for a few minutes tonight, is what is a servant? How do we serve the Lord? There's a Chinese proverb that says, if you want happiness for an hour, take a nap. If you want happiness for a day, go fishing. If you want happiness for a year, inherit a fortune. If you want happiness for a lifetime, help somebody. And I think that's the principle that the Bible teaches. Christ was a servant. In Mark, the 10th chapter, in verse 43, it says that whoever will be great among you must be your servant. And whoever will be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Sometimes we think about the idea of what is a servant. And when the TV show Downton Abbey came out, I didn't like it, but I got hooked on it a little bit, and I got interested in it, and the characters were good, and some of them were bad, but they were good at being bad. So I enjoyed it. But They had a servant. That's not the kind of servant that we're talking about. The word servant is a lot deeper than that kind of servant. Think about, and I'm going to come back to that point in just a moment, but think about men and women of the past. Go back to Joshua. Joshua, the first chapter. And I want you to see something about Moses and Joshua. This is at the death of Moses, or right after the death of Moses. Verse 1 says that it came about after the death of Moses, and he's described in the next few words as the servant of the Lord. That the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Moses, son of Nun, I'm sorry, Moses' servant. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross the Jordan, you and his and all these people, to the land which I'm giving them. Here's the point. As we read through that, Moses is referred to as a servant of the Lord 14 times. Not just a servant, but a servant of the Lord 14 times in Joshua. And also in passages in Deuteronomy and Kings and Chronicles. Here, Joshua is only referred to as a servant of Moses. But if we read on over into the 24th chapter of Joshua in verse 29, he is also called the servant of the Lord there. And again in Judges 2 and verse 8. What's the point I'm trying to make here? These two men, when we think about their life, we think about what they did in relationship to their service to God. They gave everything. Moses gave up all the riches of Egypt. He could have had it all. He was Pharaoh's daughter's son, at least to her. He would have been in line to have succeeded to the top position as Pharaoh. But he chose to be a servant of the Lord when the Lord came and spoke to him and said, I want you to go in and bring these people out. Oh, he had his doubts. He wasn't sure he could do it. But he did it. And that's the point. Along with Aaron, they went in. And then Joshua comes into the scene. Moses passes away and Joshua comes. And Joshua had been a servant to Moses. But now Moses is dead. And Joshua answers the call of the Lord. The idea is that they dedicated their time, their life, to serving God. We could talk about Elisha and Elijah. We could talk about Paul and Timothy and many others in the Bible who were true servants of God. But faithfulness is one of the key points and desired qualities of a true servant. Turn with me to Philippians, the second chapter. And we are going to read a few verses there. And I want you to notice the idea of a servant in these verses. Beginning in verse 3, Paul writes to the Philippians, Philippians 2 and verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, as we read through those verses, did you pick up some points about what a servant is? Back up in verse 3. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. How can you be a servant if you don't look at other people as more important than you? Verse 4, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. And think about Jesus himself. He gave up equality with God. Verse 6, he was God. Although he remained God, he also became man. And it says that he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. I was talking with Brent a few weeks ago, and Karen was standing there beside me, and I said, well, I'm Karen's servant. And he looked at me in all seriousness, and he said, no, you're not. He said, you're her slave. And that's the idea here. When we read this word bondservant in verse 7, it carries with it something deeper than what we think of as a servant. That's why I say the picture in Downton Abbey is not the kind of picture we think of here in the Bible. It is literally a slave, a servant, a bondservant unto others. We also can go over to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and we can see another description of what I think is part of being a servant. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 19. Paul writes and says, though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all so that I may win more. I think of where Paul was, much like Moses. Paul was well educated. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He had everything. And he gave it all up. He could have pursued whatever career he wanted. And it says here that I am free, I could do what I wanted to, but I made myself a slave that I might win more. Is that the attitude that we have sometimes? Or all the time, maybe, that we should? I can do whatever I want to. I live in a free country. I can go where I want to go, for the most part. I can work where I want to work, for the most part. I can vacation where I want to vacation. I can do what I want to. But Paul says, those kind of things were not important to me. He says, I made myself a slave. Right? Not just as we think of a servant, but a slave to all men that I may win more. How is Paul going to teach the gospel if he was out here enjoying his recreation, if he was out here enjoying being a Pharisee and all of these things and going in and talking with his fellow Pharisees? And you get the picture. He says, I made myself a slave that I might win more. And then Luke, the 6th chapter, we have another picture of what a slave is. Luke 6 in verse 34. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Now, there's a lot of said there that we're not going to get into. But the point I want us to see there is that we are to do good, expecting nothing in return. When I go help somebody, when I go provide for whatever they might need, am I going for the reason that I expect them to pay me? Am I going for the reason that I expect some sort of recognition for it? That I can get honored? Or am I going there that I can help this person with whatever needs they have and it doesn't matter anything else? Doesn't matter whether anybody else even knows about it. I'm laying up treasures in heaven, as Jesus said. And that's where the treasure is most important. If I'm serving somebody, it's not because I want to gain honor or gain monetary means of improving my wealth, but it's because I want to help somebody and I don't expect anything in return. And then one other passage that I think is important in this line is Romans, the 12th chapter, in verse 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor. Are we devoted to one another? Is our very life devoted to helping others, to serving others, to being there when they need it? How many hours do we have in a week? 168, I think. Okay? Now, 24 hours in a day. So I've got my little calendar here, and I'm making my appointments for the week, and I'm saying to myself, Monday morning at 9 o'clock, I'm available. And from 9 o'clock until 5 o'clock, you can call me and I'm available. Tuesday, same thing. Wednesday, same thing. Thursday, same thing. Friday, same thing. I cut it off at 5 o'clock, though. Saturday, no way. That's my day. Sunday's the Lord's day. You see what I'm getting at? We say that we'll help others. And we may make an effort from time to time to help others. But do you realize that from 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock is only 8 hours? 8 times 5 is 40 hours. 40 hours out of 168 hours? Now I realize we got to sleep. But you see the point? How many of you take your cell phone at night, put it up beside your bed, and turn it off? If somebody calls me, I don't want to be awakened. I've got to get my sleep. And you do. That's important. But what happens if somebody calls at 2 a.m. in the morning in distress? Are we ready to get up and go and help? Are we devoted to one another in brotherly love? Oh, I would do it for my wife or my husband. I would do it for a family member. But what about a brother or sister in Christ? What about a non-Christian? Would I be willing to do that to serve somebody else? Am I willing to take my time? Here's what we got to think about. my time is not really my time. Now, I have it compartmentalized for sure as to priorities that I need to do. But what's most important? Somebody calls me at 10 o'clock at night. And I say, can we put it off till tomorrow morning? Is there something that we can move over here? And I'll be glad to help you in the morning. And the other person says, yeah, no problem. Okay, so you move it to 10 o'clock the next morning. That's not anything wrong with that. But this person, on the other hand, may be out there stranded, or may something serious have happened. And am I willing to get back into the outside world again and go out there and help that person? It may take the whole evening, the whole night. What are my priorities as we think about this? Priscilla and Aquila. While we're here in Romans, go over to the 16th chapter. Paul talks about them, and he says in verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risked their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also to all the churches of the Gentiles. Aquila and Priscilla risked their life in order to serve Paul. Would we be willing to do that? Would we step out of our comfort zone? Would we get out and do something to help somebody else that really needs help at that time? Think of Dorcas. Dorcas was very kind and charitable, the Bible says. But you know what? She made tunics, she made garments, she made things for these people. She didn't have a sewing machine like we do today. She had to do everything by hand. She had to lay it out, cut it out, sew it, put it all together. That took time. Think about the time that she put into it. And I don't know how she purchased it, maybe with her own money, and provided it for these people. When she died, they wept. She had been a servant. She had helped these people with these garments. A servant looks out to see how they can help one another. Servants keep a low profile. Oh, I know that I could go out and do whatever I do, and I could come back and I could brag about it at church service Sunday morning. Look what I did. But that's not the attitude of a servant. The attitude of a servant is to go help somebody, to be available to help somebody. And as Jesus said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Don't brag about it. Don't build it up. Don't come back and say, look what I did out here. Sometimes we say, fly under the radar. And that's exactly what we do. If we fly under the radar, nobody is seeing what we're doing. It's between me and the person that I'm helping and God. I'm storing up treasures in heaven, which is where they need to be stored up, not here on earth where I'm building up my reputation and building up my whatever among men. Get up at 10 o'clock at night. Go out and help somebody. Come back. Go to bed. Go about the rest of your work the next day. Get a nap if you have to because you were up late. But don't go about bragging about it. people will know you're doing good deeds without you doing that. And give it your all. There's a song I think we sang Friday night at the singing, Make Me a Servant. That's a relatively new song as far as a lot of songs we sing. It was written back in the 70s, I think. Make me a servant just like your son. We read that in Philippians, the second chapter. Jesus came and took on the form of a bondservant, took on the form of a slave. Make me a servant just like your son. For he was a servant. Please make me one. Make me a servant. Do what you must do to make me a servant. Make me like you. Verse 2, make me a servant and take all of my pride. For I would be lowly, humble inside, giving to others with all that I do, in love for my brother. Make me like you. Make me a servant, filled by your might. And may all my labor shine with all your light. Show me your footsteps and what I should do. For now and forever, make me like you. You see why it scares me to read Matthew 25? And Jesus says, when we help others, those that are sick, those that are hungry, those that are in prison, those that are in need in some way, we're helping and serving God. But am I doing that? Am I actually living my life to serve others? Am I doing everything I can every day to be a servant of Jesus Christ? There are many other things that I need to do. I need to be a teacher. I need to be a father, a grandfather. I need to be a husband. But doesn't all of that involve serving too? Am I not serving my wife or my children or my family here at church or anybody else when I'm doing what I need to do in responsibilities to everybody else? And when I'm teaching the lost, is that not being a servant to help bring them to Christ? You see, almost everything we do, if not everything we do, involves being a servant. Because as we've read, it involves getting rid of my wants and my desires and putting others first and looking out for the needs of others. Make me a servant, the song says, just like you. As God in Christ has forgiven me, can I have that kind of forgiveness? As Jesus has come to this earth as a servant, can I be a servant just like Him? Make me a servant just like you. If there's anybody subject to the invitation tonight, won't you come as we stand and sing?